Is this live?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Are you ready?
Podcast, and we're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California, the Amp Studios themselves, Proteus. We're coming at you live and unedited from the week that was. Proteus in Toronto meeting friends. Shout out to 1UP MMA. Always want to make sure that we get buddies there. We're going to go into a few things. We're going to go into Bellator, Hawaii, both 212 and 213s, as Proteus likes to say, on the ones and twos. And we'll go into UFC on Fox, Lee versus Iaquinta 2. You better not boo me, Proteus. UFC on Fox 31, the last Fox card. Boy, that's a little fast.
Crazy.
Shout out to Fox. Let's get the first lady of MMA on. Hit it!
I'm trying to keep Cedric quiet over here. What's up, guys? I said, what's up, guys?
What's up,
Tammy?
Tammy?
When can we get Cedric to swear on me?
Oh, he'll do it. He doesn't do it like on command. He'll just start throwing words out there. So you're going to hear him probably crawls out. He pushes his door open, crawls out of his cage, and then sits on the very top, which is where he is right now. Hi, Cedric. But he doesn't talk to me. He'll scream bloody murder. So if you hear him, you know, because he'll scream, I'm like, stop screaming. And then he'll scream some more, and I'm like, oh. So, but I love him, though.
Was he screaming when Elias Theodora allegedly got the win?
Shut up. You guys are just hateful. You know he won. Touch it up.
We love Elias. All right, let's meet the host. Fighting out of the red corner, Pammy. Not the blue devil blue corner, the red corner, which is, oh, Canada.
Take off, eh?
Hit it!
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. It's so good to hear the old intros coming back. Also very good to have the boss man hosting the show. What you got, DJ Tony?
Proteus, we miss doing this week in MMA. We have to start doing it again. I've been too lazy. But as always, Proteus,
woo!
We're not deep in the heart of Ontario. We're not deep in the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina, or Wilmington. Where are you, Pam?
Wilmington. Hurricane
Shout
Central.
Shout out to Wilmington. But we're also deep in the heart of what, Proteus?
Deep in the heart.
Texas.
Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Hit it!
Marco from Waco, Ecuador.
Waza!
Hey!
Oh, man, those were the good days! Oh, that was the good days.
Beagle, shout out to my dog Rex. He's 3 years old today. Happy birthday, you stupid mutt.
Ow. Shout out to the lab. Is he a chocolate lab or a black lab? I can't remember.
Black lab. He's a black lab. And he doesn't discriminate.
What is
up? All right,
up?
Let's go, guys. We got a lot to cover and very little time. That's what I always say about Rachel Ostovich when she's in her UFC kit. A lot to cover. That's a good thing. I'll stick in my own rim shot on that one.
Yeah.
Hit it! Guys, we go to the land where we should be covering. Proteus, if we were going to get credentials anywhere, this is where we should have been.
Right.
UFC, forgive me, Bellator. Two cards, guys, 212 and 213. Bellator and the USO event present Primus versus Chandler 2, not Primus. Jerry was a race car driver. Pretty good fight on this one, guys. Lightweight, Brent Primus versus Iron Mike Chandler. Frank Mir versus Javi Ayala, Pam's favorite. AJ McKee versus Daniel Crawford. Derek Campbell versus Sam Cecilia. And Alejandra Lara, Q the lightsaber, versus Juliana Vasquez. Marco, we go to you. We go to Bellator 212. Brent Primus versus Michael Chandler. Brent Primus, 33 years young, fights once a year, guys, maybe. 8-0. Keep in mind, Primus hasn't fought in 2018. Not since he won the belt last June 24th of 2017. Big excitement news there. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Chandler? Will it be Brent Primus?
So, let's start by saying, freaking A, man. Bellator beat the UFC to the punch, going to Hawaii. Good job, Bellator. Good job. Second, does this freaking Brad Primus belt really mean anything? Did anybody remember that Brad Primus was the lightweight champion?
Ooh.
I totally forgot about the guy. Like I was going to check out the obituaries, make sure the guy was not dead. But, okay, whatever. This fight is finally happening because you know they want to put the belt back into Michael Chandler, you know? The Brad Primus is not their guy. It's not their capital G guy. They don't promote the guy. They bury him into forgetfulness. So they want to put the belt back on Michael Chandler. And common sense and conventional wisdom will tell you that Michael Chandler should run away with this fight. But what is it with Michael Chandler always losing to guys in weird ways? I mean, he could never beat Will Brooks. And then Will Brooks go to the UFC, and he checks the belt on the UFC. With Eddie Alvarez, you know, they went back and forward, but Eddie finally won the trilogy. And, well, Eddie came and did better things on the UFC. That's a different story. I don't know why, and this is just a complete gut feeling. Something weird is going to happen, and Brad Primus is going to win this fight. Not because Michael Chandler is not a better fighter, because like I said, Commander Wizard will tell you that he should win this fight, but because it's something about him losing to guys that sounds like he shouldn't lose to, and he checks the bet when he's not supposed to. So by some weird, freaking, stupid, I don't know, happenstance, I want to pick Brad Primus to win by like a technical knockout. Like, Chandler's going to get injured or something stupid like that, and Primus is going to win. I completely got feeling. It got nothing, no logic whatsoever. I'm just saying that Chandler got this bad luck when it comes to fights like this, picking Brad Primus by a stupid technical knockout via a stupid injury.
You know what? I'm shocked at that one. We're going to go to the ladies.
Is that actually happened? I should put money on the freaking on the betting line with that same line, because I would make millions.
Can I get that round again, Marco? Sorry?
At the end of the third round, something weird is going to happen.
Okay.
And then Primus get the technical knockout, the TKO.
I don't blame you. Well, I was shocked when Marco said it to begin with. We're going to go to you, Pammy, because Michael Chandler, huge, minus 500 favorite, plus 400 for Brett. Jerry was a race car driver, Primus.
Okay. I had to remember. I said, is this the guy? Because he looks completely different in his picture on Sherdog. So I'm like, is that guy that has the belt right now? So it is. And you know what I'm looking at is what happens with Michael Chandler is, especially with this fight, I think he is going to be too overly emotional, too angry, too whatever. And I'm making this short and sweet because we got a lot of shit to talk about. I'm picking up Primus with the second round TKO for me.
Jeez.
Boom. Be shocked again.
You're on mute, bro.
Are y'all there?
I guess I can't believe I'm shocked. Okay. So Pam and Marco going with Jerry was a race car driver. Am I losing it, Proteus? Proteus, tell me I'm losing it here. Because,
well,
I got my back.
No, you're not losing it, but, you know, I think it's going to be the same as it was last time.
Wow.
So he'll be losing in a pretty spot because they're going to have some nice weather out there. So,
you know,
he can go lay out on the beach after he loses. It'll be nice.
Proteus, do you agree? with Pam and with Marco, will it be Brett Primus or will it be Michael? I guess I'm going 0-2 against Jerry was a race car driver, Primus, Chandler.
Well, let's rewind the tape because Marco was unable to remember what happened in this fight, and it was a freak injury. I mean, Michael Chandler got kicked in a low leg kick, and his ankle was all effed up. And I think if I remember correctly, it was on Junkie saying, you know, it was, you know, just one of those things that he probably could have fought through, but you know, that was a doctor stoppage. Look, Michael Chandler, as Marco was saying as well, you know, we never had the opportunity, or we probably will never see have the opportunity to see Michael Chandler in the UFC just because he's making that money over in Bellator. You know, as you mentioned, he's their guy. They want to get the belt back on him. I'm definitely considering Primus again, but the thing that I have not, that's a little concerning to me is that he has not fought in a year, as you mentioned, DJ Tony. Hasn't fought in 2018 so far, and that's a little concerning against a guy who has been in action. He's been fighting. He's been active. We really haven't seen any kind of freak thing happen since that fight with Primus back in June of 2017. Two good wins. I mean, it's tough to pick against Chandler here, and I'm surprised he's such an underdog here. You did say he was underdog, correct?
Minus 400 underdog. Minus
yeah. Okay, so look,
I mean,
I'm going to take the.
Plus,
I'm gonna,
sorry, Marco's right. Plus,
yeah, plus
400 Primus.
Okay, so I'm going to take the big money here. As Showtime would like to say, you know, the money is on Chandler. You got to take Chandler on this one because, you know, he's going to be the one that pays out. I think that Chandler Chandler is the favorite. Sorry. I totally effed that one up. But I think, forget what I said, edit, throw that out the window. I just think that Chandler is not going to have, you know, the problems that he may have had in the past. I mean, freak injury, guys, let's remember. And he has been, as DJ Tony said, fighting the top of the best of the best in Bellator. Primus being the champion, probably a fluke. I'm going to take Chandler. I think it's going to go the distance, though, so I'm going to take Chandler by decision.
What is that noise?
Chandler by decision. Pam.
Hey, what is
it? I think it's Marco.
I'm on mute, bro.
Okay, bud. Tony, watch your mic.
Sorry, is it me? My bad.
Got
okay,
him.
So okay. Here's what I will say.
Not. We got a ghost in the machine, dude.
Ghost
talking over
in the machine.
Are you hearing an echo?
No,
it's like somebody whispering over us. And when you were talking, and I heard it too. We got a ghost in the machine.
Like a cuckooey. Yeah, there's a cuckooey in there.
There is definitely a cuckooey.
Well, you know, it's no longer Halloween season, but we understand. I will say this, guys. It's Cedric. Cedric's the one that's doing it.
Oh, my God.
He's whispering.
Yeah. I will say this, guys, and I think Proteus is right on this one, Marco and Pam. I think it was a fluke. Do we even remember that fight? I remember somebody taking the chair from Chandler and Chandler basically falling on
his
butt.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember? Yep.
I just don't see how this is going to happen again. I've stood in front of Chandler. Chandler's certainly a lot shorter than I am, but he is wide, guys. Like, he is a really, really buff guy. I've never seen Brett Primus in person, so I couldn't tell you that. But he's 33 years old, guys. He's fought 8 times. Mind you, he's 6-0 in Bellator, but he fights once a year. So I don't know if Iron Mike Chandler is correct about calling him a part-time fighter. Iron Mike Chandler will KO Brett Primus and call him Primus in the second round. So TKO, Iron Mike Chandler. Let's move up, guys. Right, Pammy? Hit it.
Yep.
Guys, the stick in Hawaii. What a great weekend that is. By the way, shout out to Dan Tom and your boy, which we got to talk about, who you got to spend time with, John Morgan, who are spending
and Kenny's
the weekend.
There too.
And cold coffee? Get out of here. Bellator 213, Tammy. McFarland.
Yep.
You know what? We're going to cue the music on both of these. I'm telling you right now. McFarland versus Letourneau will take place this time Saturday, same arena, and it will end live on The Zone. Halima Leigh McFarland versus Valerie Letourneau, main event, co-main event, Lyoto Machida versus Rafael Carvalho, Neiman Gracie against Ed Ruth, starting, by the way, the welterweight tournament, and light heavyweight we go, King Mo Lawal will fight one of my guys, Liam McGeary, and lightweight Kona Oliveira will fight Nian Nomua Dunn.
TJ, I'm
trying to say
who's
that.
Your mom?
See how it comes out in your mouth. Nailed it! Tammy, we go to you. Will it be Valerie Letourneau, 35 years young, 10-6, but who the hell cares? She's gorgeous. The beautiful Letourneau, Tammy, 2-3 in her last five. She's lost her final UFC fights, but has won two straight decisions in Bellator. She will fight the beautiful Limale McFarland, 28 years young, 8-0. And I'm telling you, Pam, Proteus, and Marco, this she's a stud. McFarland, of course, a submission machine. She submitted her last six Bellator opponents. Pam, will it be the beautiful Valerie Loves Me, or will it be the beautiful Limale McFarland?
Why didn't you say the beautiful Limale McFarland?
Did I?
Why didn't you say that? No, you Limale. No, you didn't. So, the reason that this fight, I mean, this, you know what? Limale McFarland, I've got her a first-round TKO. This is especially for her. This is the reason that it is in Hawaii. See her win. A first-round TKO for me. That's it.
All right.
What are the odds on this? Anybody
have
odds?
Yeah, I got the odds. I got the odds right here in front of me. We have Limale at -175 and Valerie Letourneau at a +155. It's a close fight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's a little too close for me. By the way, everybody, Pammy, wants to see Limale McFarland. Everyone.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, no doubt. Proteus, we go to you. Will it be Valerie Letourneau or will it be Limale McFarland?
Wow. I like that. So listen, shout out to her photo on Bellator MMA in that pink dress. I'm just going to have to say that. There it is. That's what I'm talking about. So listen, guys, I think this is going to be a close fight as stated by the odds. Limale, very, very dangerous, as we know. But Valerie Letourneau is probably going to come in here as the bigger fighter. I'm not saying that she's necessarily the most talented fighter. And, Pam, I agree with you 100% that this is the way for Limale to show out in her home state. And it's amazing. As Marco had mentioned, congratulations again to Bellator for being the first to go to Hawaii and get that done. I know I'm not saying that, people from Hawaii. I apologize. I that's why I will never go to your beautiful state, because you'll probably beat me up for not saying it correctly. I apologize. But I think Valerie Letourneau is going to get this done. I think this is her opportunity to muscle up the smaller fighter. And as we've said in the past, you know, this is how the bigger fighter takes advantage of being the bigger fighter. As long as the weight cut goes well and she rehydrates well, I think Valerie Letourneau gets this done. I do think it's going to be a good fight. I do think, again, I know I'm kind of riding the fence here, but I think that we're going to see this go the distance as well. So I'm going to take Letourneau by decision and new.
Wow. All right. So Pam going to Limale. Proteus going the way, of course, of Valerie Loves Me. Look up that song, Valerie Loves Me. You guys want to look up that. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Valerie Letourneau or will it be Limale McFarland?
So, first of all, aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Look, Valerie Letourneau has been a very serviceable veteran. I mean, even though she only got 16 fights, she goes way back, you know, at the UFC and now in Bellator. She fought at 135 for a while, but she's obviously another 125er. All that said, then, she has never showed the mettle to take it to the next level. And for whatever gripes I got with you know, Bellator, McFarlane had all the intangibles. You know, she got the look, she got the personality, and she got the fighting arguments, you know, the fighting IQ. This is the biggest name McFarlane have faced, you know. Laterno by far is the biggest name so far. But I think she's going to get the edge, man. She got a really wicked ground game, and her submissions are really, really good. I think she's going to be able to take it to the ground. And but the end of the second or early third round, she's going to find a submission and probably a rear naked choke Valerie Laterno. So, and still, Bellator, whatever is world flyweight champion, Alicia Le McFarlane.
Did you give us a round? Sorry?
Early third round, rear naked choke. Submission.
Okay, so sub third, and I'm going to put early beside that one. Thank you, Tony.
Guys, you know that I am not one to just go straight off looks, right, Pammy? That's not who I am. I like to pick talented fighters, and it doesn't get more talented than Alima Leigh McFarlane, you guys. Valerie Laterno, beautiful. I loved her in Friends, Proteus. I thought her playing the part of Monica Geller was amazing. Oh, that wasn't her? No? All right.
Wow.
So, I think Alima Leigh is going to do it. I agree with Marco. I think Marco said second round. I think she gets it done in the second round, early second round. Yeah. Rear naked.
I'm on an island, am I?
Alima Leigh McFarlane. Yes,
she's
sir.
I'm on an island.
He's what happened, man.
Well, I'm not one up anyone, unless, of course, we're talking about lightsabers. The guys, let's move on. Two Bellator cards in a row. I don't like how they do that back-to-back, guys. We'll get into it a little bit once we get into the news. I think they blow their wad. No pun intended, right? They do that a little too often, guys. Let's space them out. Let's get a break so we can enjoy what's going on. But Proteus, we go to the UFC. The last UFC on Fox card ever, at least in the near future. UFC on Fox 31. Everyone was looking for this fight again, Pam. I think everyone wants to see Lee versus I Quinta 2. Crickets? I certainly don't care. It will be held December 15th at the Five Serve Forum in Milwaukee. We don't call it Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'll give you some of the highlights on his cards. Kevin Lee will fight Ally Quinta. Edson, the Killer Barbosa, will fight Dan, I'm Not a Hooker. Rob Font versus Sergio Pettis. Jim Miller versus Charles Oliveira. And the hits just keep on coming, including Jessica Rose Clark versus Andrea Lee. Proteus, we go to you. To the main event we go. Ally Quinta, 31 years young. Proteus, you better not boo him. He's a plus 300 underdog. 13-4-1. He will fight Kevin Lee, 26 years young. I'll tell you one thing right now. You know that black don't crack. And African Americans always look a lot younger. Kevin Lee looks older than 26 years old, guys. Is it just me, or does he look 36? Not joking. Like, he looks 36.
Yeah.
But Kevin Lee, 26 years young, 17-3, and this guy's a stud. Junkie favorite Kevin Lee is a talented young fighter. Proteus, we go to you. Will it be the underdog, Ally Quinta, at a plus 300, or will it be the huge favorite, minus 360 in Kevin Lee?
All right, so as you mentioned, there are two Lees on this card. Two Lees don't make a right. Oh, I just made that up on the spot. Boom, boom. Listen, guys, this is not a bad card for the last offering on Fox. Thank you, DJ Tony. I appreciate that. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit later, you know, talking about what Fox has meant to the UFC and other things. But I think Raging Al really showed us something against the champion in this division, Nurmi, when he did fight him and he did go the distance with Nurmi. Nurmi was not able to take him down or work his game. But again, perhaps we can say that Ally Quinta forced Nurmi to have the fight on the feet. And we saw Nurmi fighting on the feet a bit more. But having said that, Aliana Quinta is a very good wrestler. Kevin Lee is a very good wrestler. And as we've said on this show before, sometimes good wrestlers will negate each other and the fight will happen on the feet. I'm going to take Aliana Quinta. I think Aliana Quinta is going to shock the world. He's going to continue to build his stardom. He's going to continue to sell his homes. I'm going to take him in the third round. I think, as I've said on the show numerous times tonight, I think we're looking at some good fights. And I think this one right here, you know, number four against number eight in the 155-pound division is going to be a slobber knocker. Shout out to the co-main event. I'm going to take Raging Al in the third round. I'm going to take him by TKO.
So Proteus takes Raging Al Iaquinta, the underdog, over Kevin Lee. I'm going to go quick on this one, guys. I don't see Raging Al beating Kevin Lee ever again, and I could be wrong, but I'm choosing Kevin Lee via
That's quick.
Yeah, via TKO, second round, Kevin Lee over Al Iaquinta. Pam,
one up
go
in
to
me.
You. Yep. Beautiful. Will it be Kevin
the beautiful
Lee,
Al Iaquinta?
Be...
Is that what you were going to say?
Or will it be
the
beautiful,
beautiful
Al Iaquinta?
Okay. Keep in mind that when Al Iaquinta, don't boo me, motherfuckers, took this fight against Khabib, he took this on a one-day notice. Not a one-week
right.
notice, not a two-day notice, a one-day notice, and went five rounds with Khabib. Now, also keep in mind, this fight right here is going to be the second five-round fight for each of them. I didn't know if you all knew that. So, alternative facts. Kevin Lee has won eight of his last 10, two by KO. Al Iaquinta has won eight of his last 10, four of those are by KO. You know, both of these guys are wrestlers, but throw in that mix, Al Iaquinta of jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. I think he has better striking power, and I think he has a really great chin. One thing I am kind of concerned about, too, Kevin Lee and his weight cuts. You know, weight cuts and what is that staph infection? So I don't know about that. So he does have that seven inch reach advantage, but at the same time, that tends to be a disadvantage sometimes. But short and sweet, Al Iaquinta with the TKO. I don't know if I'm going third or fourth. Proteus went third. I'm going to go fourth. Fourth round TKO. No. Second round TKO.
You know what? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Check out the big brain on Marco. Proteus going Al Iaquinta. I'm going Kevin Lee. Pammy going Al Iaquinta TKO. Marco, we go to you. Let's check out your
brain on Brad. So before I start my analysis, my three-year-old little girl just melted my heart, came into the room with a chocolate cookie. She said, "Here you go, Daddy, chocolate cookie." I'm like,
"Oh, nice one."
And, I just ate the cookie, too. So it's a good cookie.
Bobby Knuckles.
Exactly. No, that we cannot talk about that flight until February, so no.
Alternative fact.
Iaquinta Lee. I don't know why they put Al Iaquinta such a big underdog. I'm not comfortable with that. Is that it's a good underdog bet? Yeah, we have been today at the fact that, you know, one day in August, he went five rounds with the lightweight champion, you know, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Khabib. And he took a beating and he took a beating from Khabib and kept on coming. So I don't know where in your mind are you thinking that Iaquinta is going to get KO, TKO. He has never been finished. Like he has lost decisions before, but he's not a guy that gets the KO to KO. He got a chin on him, and he's tough as nails, and he pressures you, and he goes and throws volume. And we have seen Kevin Lee get uncomfortable when the people put volume with him. And the fact is, Iaquinta beat him before. It was a split decision, but he beat him. So it's not like he doesn't have a blueprint to beat Kevin Lee. Yeah, everybody's ranking on Kevin Lee athleticism and natural talents. I'm not denying that the guy is super good, super fast, but he still had gaps in his game that make me think that for one reason or another, Aya Quinta is going to be able to tough it off, make it gritty, grindy, ugly, like he likes it. He's not going to knock out Kevin Lee, but he's going to get another split decision. It's going to be a really close fight, and a lot of people are going to be pissed off at the end of the day, but it's going to be something like a 48-47 split decision for Aya Quinta.
All right.
Well, I'm definitely in a minority here, guys.
It doesn't matter.
You're on an island.
Apparently not, Rock. It does not matter. I no doubt about it, but I am here to...
I finished fight!
Thank you.
Well, I'm the best.
Thank you, guys. All right, let's go into this real quick. We haven't had a chance to go into news much recently, but I did want to get into news. Let's play a little bit of music just to get into the news on this. But, guys, we've actually have spoken a little bit about domestic abuse, domestic violence, and I don't necessarily want to get into a lot of that, but I do want to get into this. We have seen, of course, Rachel Ostovich being on the same card with Dan Hardy. Pam, I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on this. We're also seeing somebody else
Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy. What did I say? Dan Hardy. Dan Hardy. All right. You know what? My bad. I'm thinking about the Mohawk that I can't get over. Nobody rocks a Mohawk like Dan Hardy. But let's get Greg Hardy, of course, being on the same card as Rachel Ostovich, guys. I have thoughts on that. I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are on this. But we're also seeing the beautiful Andrea KGB Lee fighting, of course, one of our favorites, Jessica Rose Clark. She actually has been in the controversy herself, guys, not only getting suspended by USADA, then, of course, the fiasco with her ex-husband or current husband, whatever their status is, in his tattoos. And then let's not forget, Pam, he actually took a cigarette and burned Andrea Lee, which not a fan of that, obviously. Pam, just your thoughts. What are your thoughts on Andrea Lee coming to fight on this card? And what are your thoughts on Rachel Ostovich being on the same card as Greg Hardy?
Well, first of all, I was wondering why she came back to fight so quickly anyways. If she had a broken orbital bone, you know, why was she fighting so soon? It was my first concern. Secondly, I think that they should have addressed the Greg Hardy issue a long time before this fight was even made. They should have addressed it when they had him on the contender series. So, but then she came on and said, oh, well, you know, everything's cool, you know, with us, you know, fighting on the same card, blah, 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 you know. And, I mean, you can't speak for other people. You can have your own opinions, but you don't know how somebody feels because you're not them. So if she's okay with it, you know, and she says she's fine and things are cool, you know, maybe it's in poor taste, but at the same time, it's kind of bringing that whole subject into the limelight and maybe making people talk about it more and think about it more. You know, do I agree with it? No, I don't. But like I say, she said she's cool with it, so. You know, she's the one that's on the card, not us, so.
Marco, I'm curious about this because Pam seems to be, like, Pam is clear, though. She said, listen, it's not for us to decide. It's really for Rachel Ostovich. I have some thoughts on that, Marco, because I don't think it was Rachel Ostovich really making a decision. I think, as always, Dana White made the decision the organization. I'm just not a big fan of it, Pammy, but – Marco, I go to you.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on having Greg Hardy on the same card as Rachel Ostovich?
Okay. I'm going to put all the caveats ahead of time, so when I do my point, people don't beat me up to that. And don't condone what Greg Hardy did. I send the guy, he's a scumbag for what he did to his girlfriend at the time, you know. even though the guy was convicted, the conviction got thrown out, so he's technically not a felon. He's not convicted because the conviction goes away when they throw the case away. So he can technically always say, I was never convicted of anything. Very tone deaf in part of the USC to put them on the same card because they put Greg Hardy in the February card or like any other of the 10 other cards that are on the first quarter of 2019. You know, there is 11 cards on the first quarter of 2019. Well, 10 now because they canceled 233, but we'll talk about it in the next segment. All that said, you know, even though I don't agree that he should be in the same card with Rachel Oxenridge, number one, she said a public, and she didn't have to, that she was cool with it, you know, that her story is not his story. And in a very Machiavellian way, it actually served Rachel Oxenridge, Greg Hardy at the USC, because we are talking about it. We're talking about Rachel Oxenridge, that she would never get this coverage without this controversy. So now we're talking about her. We're more interested in her fight with Paige VanZant. By the way, she was also a sexual assault victim when she was a teenager.
Yep.
We're talking about Greg Hardy that supposedly he's trying to make his ways, you know, and if he is, good for him. And I would believe it on second chances, you know. What is the guy, going to become a janitor or something? No. He's a world-class athlete, and he already lost millions of dollars by not playing on the NFL. He's on his prime. He should be making $90 million a year right now as a defensive freaking end on a freaking football team, and he's not. So that in itself is a big punishment. You know, going from a potential $90 million a year to whatever he's going to make now in the UFC that is on the tens of thousands, so it's a bit of a stinker. And the UFC's part, you know, it is bringing a big spotlight to this car because let's not forget this is the first car on ESPN Plus. It is behind the paywall. We hardcores know where this fight is. We are committed. We know we're going to fight it. But the casuals, even though they know what ESPN is, they might not know what ESPN Plus is. So now that they hear about this controversy and about these fights, they might not be able to find it. And with all this coverage, they kind of sort of like, oh, this is what I find these fights now. So in a very Machiavellian way, it served the purpose because it spoiled the event, it spoiled the situation of Hardy and Oxenridge, and everybody gets a chime. Tone deaf, extremely tone deaf. But now that it is what it is, like Max Callow will say, we're going to move along anyway with this card. Take the good with the bad, and let's try to spoil the good parts more than the bad.
Gosh, I'm shocked, you guys. So I'm shocked what Marco said, and I'm shocked about Pam.
Again, give me 1 second. I'm not going to be a social justice warrior because I'm getting sick and tired of people doing things out of proportion. I'm going to be a little bit political about this. I already told you, I'm not condoning his behavior. I think that he got away with one on the criminal justice system, but the criminal justice works the way it works. But if this guy, and I'm trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, he's trying to make his way, and he got away with the drugs and the alcohol, and he just committed to his fighting career, and he now has a family with a couple of children on it, you know? If he's actually trying to make his way, who am I to deny him the opportunity to try to do it? I mean, the UFC is taking a huge gamble with this guy, a huge, huge gamble, you know? Because if he gets in trouble again, everybody's going to criticize him and give him a black eye. But if the guy's actually pan out to be something good in the UFC as a fighter, and he actually becomes a, you know, quote-unquote, an ambassador for domestic violence, you know, in a positive way, like Michael Vick did when he got in trouble with, you know, the peoples, it might actually be a positive thing. And for Rachel Oxenridge, the way it highlights her situation because of the Greg Hardy controversy is actually also a positive. So if people are all bent out of their way about because this is happening, I got a little bit of a problem with that. You got to be pragmatic. Don't scream bloody murder and then, you know, don't just try to rationalize it first before you start making, you know, statements. Wait out the good with the bad and then make a decision about it.
Well, It's tough to disagree with Marco there because he's being logical about it. I am making an overreaction, I guess. I don't like it. I don't feel good about it at all. Will I watch it? I'll watch anything that's Rachel Ostovich. But Marco's make a good point, Proteus. What say you about this? Because, you know, am I overreacting? Probably.
No, it's in bad taste, obviously, from the UFC. I think maybe sometimes they make these moves to get news, as we've said on this show in previous times. There is no news. It's bad news. No publicity. It's bad publicity. You know, if you're getting, there's so many fights nowadays that if
that's what they call a fight promotion.
Yeah, exactly. If there's so many fights that you need to somehow just differentiate them, and yeah. Look, this is going to be on ESPN. It's another conversation that we probably need to have, that will this be good for the UFC, and will we just be getting, you know, all of these stories dropped so that we can promote the fight cards that are going to be on an ESPN channel or streaming service. I don't know. That's another question for another day. I don't really agree with it. I think that, I mean, Ostovich needs to be a company person here. She needs to be a company woman. I don't know if she even knew that this was happening when she was questioned about it, you know, or whether the UFC came to her and asked her about it. But I do believe that she was kind of led into the direction of it's okay. So, again, I don't think we've talked about Greg Hardy on the show before, but yeah, he got away with one. He's not a great person. Dana White wants to give him another chance because he can knock people out, DJ Tony, and the the heavyweight division needs people that can knock people out. But let's keep in mind, look at what they did to Francis Ngannou as soon as he lost to Stipe Miocic in an embarrassing way, Tony. So, you know, the UFC is never on your side. The Empire will turn on you whenever they can.
So let's move on to this, guys, because I actually I'm probably the only one that's on this island here. But let's talk to UFC 233. For the second time, Pam, time in a row, the UFC has canceled an Anaheim card. And again, it goes to me to overbooking. That seems to me the biggest issue. Proteus, I'm going to go to you first on this one, then we'll go with Pam on this one. But UFC 233 canceled, and I'm shocked. I don't think there are enough cards in California. You guys can correct me. Proteus, what say you? UFC 233 canceled.
Well, I mean, I think when we knew this was going to happen, when the UFC decided to pull Henry Cejudo versus TJ Dillashaw off of this particular pay-per-view event, as you mentioned, DJ Tony, there are not enough champions to go around there. You know, if you're going to sell a pay-per-view to the masses, you need to have something that's going to intrigue them. And I give a shout out not only to the Canadian fans because I'm Canadian, but we had two really great fights at the top of our event on Saturday. And people showed up for that, and I'm sure people bought the pay-per-view because that was a good event. But if you don't have the product to deliver, DJ Tony, you got to. Unfortunately, they commit to these things early in the year, and tickets go on sale, and people buy tickets. And yes, it's not great that they've canceled two shows in the same area, the same place. You know, it's not a good thing, and that's going to sour those fans to coming back. But Tom Segura has apparently canceled on Australia 2 years in a row too. So never mind that. But boom, I'll give myself the rim shot. Look, guys, it's going to happen. I think it's going to continue to happen, DJ Tony, because they're doing too much. They're doing too much. And if you want me to get into them doing too much, I can, because I had a conversation with some industry insiders about it this weekend. So maybe we'll get into that later.
Yeah, let's get into that right after this. But again, I do want to talk about this. Pam, 233
yep.
canceled, and I think we're going to see a little bit more of this, guys, if the
yep.
UFC doesn't literally reschedule everything. Pam, you UFC 233 canceled, and keep in mind, Anaheim, where all the stars would have been.
Well, I gotta tell you, the only reason I bought the pay-per-view was to see if I could see Proteus on TV. So, anyway, not really. You know what? I was wondering if they get it. Oh my God, pay attention. Anyways, you know what? I'm wondering if any of that has to do with the flyweights. Are they getting rid of them? They're keeping them. They're getting rid of them. They're keeping them. You know, that wishy-washy where they don't know what they're doing. But you know, I agree too. I think they've got there's too many events going on at one time, because this is not the first time. And what was it? I can't even remember, because there's been so many fights in between that they didn't have a co-main event, and they were trying to pull from another event to get a main event for one of the cards itself. So I think you're right. I mean, there are too many pay-per-views. You know, I think one a month is plenty. Even maybe every other month is plenty, but because you've got, we just did a pay-per-view last weekend, and now we're doing a pay-per-view, not this weekend, but in next weekend, another pay-per-view.
Marco, I totally agree with Pam. I think obviously 233 being canceled obviously harps on the fact that maybe there are too many cards, which I've espoused on quite a bit. But Marco, I go to you. UFC 233 will not be visiting Mickey Mouse. What say you?
Nobody wants to go to Anaheim anyway.
Take that for data.
Hey, so whether we like it or not, this UFC is scheduled to have 42 events next year, 12 pay-per-views and 30 fight nights. You know, 10 of those are going to be on ESPN proper and the other 20 on ESPN Plus. And this pay-per-view was canceled, quote-unquote, but they're still going to have 12 pay-per-views next year because they're contractually obligated to provide content for ESPN. So make sure, be assured that you're going to have a December month with two pay-per-views like we have like this month, you know, because we got the pay-per-view last week and we're going to have the pay-per-view at the end of the month. So something like that is going to happen by the end of the year. Be assured of that. They're going to make up for this pay-per-view one way or another, not only because they got contractual obligations, but because, you know, they want to stick to their guns. The good thing about it is that now I can watch the Bellator card, you know, Bader versus Fedor without worrying about a pay-per-view against it. So I can just put more of my attention on the Bellator card that weekend. But a lot of people say, like, too many cars and stuff like that. I don't know what you guys want. I mean, for years we complained, we don't have enough MMA. No, we want to be in the mainstream. Now that we do, we're on ESPN. This is what's happened. They shut the bet on this one because they wanted to stack up the ESPN Plus debut. It is what it is, man. It's going to give us a break. It's going to be, I'm saying, the glass half full. Well, we're going to have that weekend completely open for Bellator only because they got two cards a weekend again. You know, they got a Friday card and a Saturday card Bellator that weekend. And there's not going to be a content programming from the UFC. And the UFC will figure it out. Those fights are going to get spread out through the whole first quarter. And they're going to make the other cards better, you know, because all those cards from that were slotted to be on 233 are going to go to the cards that are ahead on the calendar. And they're going to stack those cars up even better. Sometimes, you know, getting rid of one car pays off for other cars ahead, because it makes them better cars, you know, with more talent on it. So, glass half full for me. It sucks. But the good thing about it is that they canceled the flight. The tickets were supposed to go on sale, so nobody really committed to anything. The day the tickets were supposed to go on sale, they canceled it, so that they did it the right way. Before anybody committed to anything, so there was no refunds, no nothing, they canceled it. So that, I guess that is a good thing. So that's my point of view on that.
Guys, let's jump back a bit. As we go back in time, just like with this UFC on FX, a throwback theme here, but let's go back. Because our very own Proteus, guys, was live. And he was perhaps unedited with a little bit of sauce at UFC 231, Holloway versus Ortega. And again, shout out to 1MMA. Was that it, Proteus? I just forgot.
Yeah,
I just literally tweeted them. So let's talk about your trip, Proteus. You were there. What did you experience? You hung out with Morgan. Give us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great weekend. Toronto is a great city. It's very multicultural. There's lots of things to do. And, I mean, even if you didn't want to take a cab and you could walk to places, I did a lot of walking this weekend. It was a fantastic weekend. The UFC, of course, had the weigh-ins Friday night in the Scotiabank Center. Of course, as I always do, dropped off a care package to any MMA junkie radio or MMA junkie that, you know, reporter that comes into the area. I make sure that I'm there with the care package. And, of course, Morgan was in town, and it had been 7 years since I had seen him in person, face-to-face. So I dropped off the care package for him and at the host hotel. And you know what? The host hotel was going through all the checks and balances. I had to fill up a form. I had to tell them what was in the care package. It was a little strange, but of course, PBRs, award-winning PBRs, six of them.
What is that?
You know.
Oh, Pabst Blue Ribbon? Is that what that
there
is?
You go.
Oh, I don't drink beer. I'm not a beer drinker.
Well, if you listen to Morgan's podcast, you know that the PBRs go down regularly. So they didn't have any of my beer at the particular LCBO that I went to before I got to Morgan. So I got them the award winners.
Okay.
Fast forward, though, the weigh-ins went great. Chasm did message me, but only messaged me once because there were other more important people in town, if you know what I mean. Hashtag Muna. Yeah, man. And then we went out for dinner. We hung out later on in the evening with Morgan and everybody. All of the media was there with Morgan. So, you know, your Sean O'Shaughnessys, your Shandus, everybody was there. There was a fellow from Ireland that tried to pick a fight with me. That was fun. It was excellent. No, actually, it wasn't. But it got squashed real quickly, and then Saturday came along, and what can I say? I mean, that's right. We all witnessed some history on Friday night. You're giving Pam some years about the best hair in MMA. I thought, you know, he did enough to win that fight. He stayed away. He worked his game. The crowd was great, though, DJ Tony. The crowd was absolutely wonderful in the building. It was full, as Dana White had mentioned, to the rafters, and I can attest to that because I could touch the rafters from where I was sitting. So it was a great night overall. And then Morgan and I stayed up talking until five in the morning, talking MMA. You know, it was really wonderful, man. It was a really good weekend. And then that bastard shipped off to Hawaii.
So
what's that?
Not bad.
What's that?
Your talk, you didn't do an MMA show
and a half
episode.
Oh, man, I was way too drunk to do any talking at that particular time.
No, but you should Morgan, that's a follow-up of the road show, the episode and a half.
Yeah, but who is he going to interview, me? I was not in any way conditioned for that.
That's what I said. I blame you.
Nah, he was working hard. Morgan was working hard, and I was just there observating. Observating? That's not a correct word.
Observing. All right. Hey guys, I do want to get into this. So we're going long, but you know what? F it. We're going to go long. We got to talk UFC 232. Proteus was not only there. UFC 231. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. But a lot of storylines here, guys. So quickly, let's go to each one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and let's try not to duplicate. If someone jumps from one, let's jump to another. But Marco, what was your major fight that you took away?
Oh, come on, Max Holloway, unbelievable! I could not believe he was a betting underdog. So never again, Vegas. Never again put Max Holloway as a betting underdog. It was a virtuoso performance. The guy reminds everybody that not only he's good, but he's great. He's elite. The way he put it on the fourth round, man, 134 strikes on a fourth round. That is more strikes that people plant in a whole freaking five-round fight. broke all sorts of records, man. Whatever questions we got about Max Holloway's health are not forgotten, but we can dismiss them for now. And the sky is the limit for this kid. He's only 27 years old. He's not even in his prime yet. And he's putting performances like this. That is, for me, this is a mode of star-making performance at the Aldo fights. Because with Aldo, we kind of sort of knew that, you know, Aldo is probably on the downside of his career. You know, I mean, he's still a really good fighter and, you know, close to elite. But Ortega, undefeated, a finisher. All the chips were on the Ortega side. Everybody was on the Brian Ortega's hype and Max Holloway.
Yeah, you guys are on his nuts, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I was.
Remember that it is the blessed era, and you better get on the fucking blessed era shoo-shoo train, because, you know, it's coming true. He already went past T-City, and next town is probably a Russian dude 10 pounds up. What can I say, man? Max Holloway is the man right now. He should be up there on the pound-for-pound rankings. And if not the best, one of the best featherweights we ever seen. I want to see him rematch with Conor. I want to see him rematch with Dustin Poirier. I want to see him go up for the lightweight title. And I want to see him freaking defend the title on a featherweight, too. Put him with Moicano. Put him with Frankie Edgar. There is some good fights for him as featherweight. Also, put him with Chad Mendes. Let's get make this guy not just a great, but the greatest.
All right, so let's do this. Proteus actually brought up a good point, so let's do this. Marco, 100%, I was completely wrong on Max Holloway and a few others. Max Holloway defeats, of course, Brian Ortega, TKO, Valentina, decision over JJ, Gunnar Nelson, I like to call him Gunny, defeats Alex Oliveira, submission, but that's not really, really what defeated him. Hakeem Dawodu defeated with an angry face.
His forehead bit him.
Yeah, I know. Kyle Bochniak, Thiago Santos, Machete defeating, of course, Jimmy Manoa. We can go on and on. Let me go with this, guys, because we do have to move on, and I do want to get into the – and I do want to get into – and I do want to get into the up-down report, guys. On this, I'll give you this one, Pam, because I don't know if you were going to go with this one or not. So I'll leave that. I'm assuming you're going to go with Nina, so I'll leave that one. I was wrong with that one. But to the flyweight we go, guys. Jessica I defeated Caitlin Chookagian. Did she? Via split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28, I guess. Proteus, listen. Anyone could have won this fight, but I didn't see Jessica I winning that fight. Shout out to Jessica I. As she said, Proteus, Marco, and Pam, Joe, you can look at my butt, but you will not have me on your podcast. So shout out to Jessica I for telling the truth. Everyone stares at her butt. Pam, we go to you. What was your fight that you took away? Biggest fight for you on that card?
Truthfully, I'm not going to go with the main or the co-main because those were obvious. Truthfully, when we were doing our picks, because I go through and do all my picks and you guys messed me up by saying, oh, we're just doing one card. So I had all my picks ready, but I had actually picked Nina to win over Claudia.
Wow.
Okay.
I had picked Nina to win. And so now it makes me wonder if Claudia and the old boy were knocking the boots the night before, which is why both of them kind of sucked, you know. Not
they,
to be mean, but, you know. But
by the way, Brian Ortega and Claudia Gadelha make babies. That's going to be a good-looking, kick-ass baby.
Yeah.
You're going to go fight, man.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Yeah, good-looking kid.
But what was Rocky's trainer's name? I don't remember, but he says, women weaken knees. So I'm wondering if that's not what happened. So somebody for future reference, do not ever put them on the same card again, please.
I totally agree with that one, Proteus. Not joking. Somebody was knocking boots. Proteus, we go to you. What was the fight that either surprise you
choke.
The most or
bumping uglies.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get into that, DJ Tony, just let me bask in the glory of the results of this card. Proteus knocking this one out of the park, getting that gold around his waist.
That's gold.
Anyway, I digress.
Just because I'm not seeing an injury and you got an interim title doesn't make you a champ.
Yeah. You can hold on to my title for a while, but I'm eventually going to get it back. Listen, I think 100%, guys, I mean, I have to go with my spotlight fight of the night. Jimmy Manoa versus Thiago Santos, of course, delivered. But the one that I was with, the crowd reacted the most to, and, of course, the people who I was with, my buddy, his birthday, he is of Icelandic descent, and he was very proud of his countrymen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say to you, Gunnar Nelson getting that big win. I did say on last week's show that Gunny was looking hype. He's looking pretty big. And he showed out, man. Busting Alex of Oliveira open, bleeding him out all over the cage while he choked him. That was the most impressive win of the night. All of you all can just take a seat.
I'll be keeping an eye on those USADA testing results for the next couple of weeks, just in case.
Ba-doom-boom.
Oh, guys, all right. So before we hit the music, because we're going to actually cue two musics here, Pammy. Not only are we going to cue Bye 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 for a segment that we call the Up-Down Report, but, of course, we will end with our very own surf rider in this. So let's cue the music for the Up-Down Report, guys. Pammy, Up-Down.
Mm-hmm.
Who went up? Who went down? And we're not talking about Claudia and Ortega. I got
oh.
nothing on that one. That was a good one.
Wow.
That was a good one. But to me, Up-Down Report. Who went up?
Okay.
Who went down? Let me give you this first, Pammy. My up-down report. I got to give it up to Jessica I, guys. Not only do
Literally.
I not think that she won, but she might get a title fight out of this, which is insane. So, up report. My up goes to Jessica I. My down report, Pammy, goes to Claudia. I don't know what's going on with her, but she mm-hmm. hasn't looked good since Jessica I looked good fighting, and it's been a long time. So, and you know I love Jessica I, but man, she hasn't looked good in years. And unfortunately, on photography wise, they both look great, but Claudia looked like crap. Pam, up down. Mm-hmm. Who went up? Who went down?
Up down. My up down report. I'm sticking with the ladies. Nina, she goes up, and I think shortly she's going to be a contender. Down, Joanna drops down. She's number six. She's ranked as number six now. So,
oh, good point.
Joanna goes down. Nina goes up.
That's what Ortega said. All right.
I don't know if
you
can get it up with Nina,
I'll make
though.
I'm making myself laugh. Yeah, no doubt. Proteus, up-down report.
Yeah.
Who went up? Who went down?
Yeah, I'm going to have to, again, go back to Thiago Santos getting the performance of the night against Jimmy Manoa. Those guys met in the middle and fucking threw down. It was a great fight. I have to say that Abel Mercier kind of falls down here. He's my down report. Abel Mercier.
I like him so much, too.
Me too. Maybe he should have worn his glasses
Canadian
just like Charles Oliveira.
Maybe he should have worn his crop.
Oh, yeah. Marco, we go to you. Up-down report. Who went up? Who went down?
Up, Gunny Nelson, man. He reminds everybody after almost over a year of absence how good he is. You know, with against a very game, Alex Cowboy Oliveira, the Brazilian Cowboy. Down, Eric Anders, man. I mean, this guy can get a lot of hype, a lot of promise. Very athletic, you know. However, he's falling back on fights that he's supposed to win. He was the favorite against Teodoro. He was the favorite up there against Machida. And, you know, he keeps losing these fights against these karate-style fighters, man. I guess we found Eric Anders' kryptonite, so Eric Anders needs to figure some stuff out because now he's just becoming another guy. And instead of the hype, he's just another guy. He doesn't want to be in that space. So Eric Andre is down, and Gunny Nelson is up for me.
Darn, you guys killed it in that segment. Guys, we're going to go. It's everyone's favorite. Yep, we're going to do it, Proteus. We screwed up on time anyway, so let's just do it. Spotlight fight of the night. This will be, for, of course, the very last UFC on Fox card. So, Spotlight fight of the night. My spotlight fight of the night will be, Pammy, you might kill me on this one, but you know me and the ladies, Jessica Rose Clark. She will fight Andrea KB Lee. And I got to tell you, Andrea Lee, guys, she's a damn good fighter. So we will see what will happen. So that's my spotlight fight of the night. Pam, the first lady of Amp Radio, we go to you. Spotlight fight of the night.
Well, since we just did, since we just picked the first, you know what? I'm going to do my spotlight is I'm going with Edson Barboza. He's always been one of my favorites. And
nice
he's coming off a loss. Dan Hooker's coming off a loss, I believe. This should be I think it's going to be a great fight. I'm predicting a second round TKO Edson Barboza for me.
Damn, that's a good fight. Proteus, we go
yes,
to your spotlight fight of the night for you.
Okay, listen, I wanted to give a shout-out to the Bellator card as well, the middleweight division. I think that's going to be an excellent fight. Of course, Lyoto Machida fighting on that one as well. Look, there's a lot of good fights on this card. Bobby Green versus Jakar Close is kind of taking my eye right now, so that's my spotlight fight of the night. I'm going to take Jakar Close in this one by knockout in the second.
Darn, very good. And you're right on this one, guys. You could have gone anywhere. That was my bad. You could have gone with any of the Bellator cards or any of the or the UFC on Fox 31. Marco, we go to you. Your spotlight fight of the night.
Okay, before I did give you my spotlight fight, even though it's the last proper Fox fight on a full Fox dragon on the Fox network, it's not the last time we're going to see fights on the Fox network. FS1 prelims for UFC 232 is the last time you'll see fights on Fox.
Oh, good
job.
Remember
that. Good job, Marco. Good job, Marco.
But,
good point.
But I'm going to become a Bellator fight for my spotlight fight. Frank Mir versus Ayala. I want to see where Frank Mir is. You know, he lost in devastating fashion against Fedor on his comeback, you know, after a 2-year absence.
Unfortunately.
I want to see what Frank Mir is. You know, he usually a smart fighter. He's up there in age, you know, late 30s. But he's a much better fighter than Ayala. I think they're giving him this fight to bounce back. So I'm going to pick Mir. I mean, he's some pride on his boxing. But I don't think he's going to do it with boxing. I think he's going to take it to the ground and submit Ayala. So give me Frank Mir on a second round submission.
Darn, that's a good one. I forgot about the Bellator cards. Nice job. By the way, shout out to Alejandra Alara. You want to look her up, kid. That's right, Proteus. We had to do it. We had to do it. She may not be one hell of a fighter, but she certainly looks the part. And most importantly, damn, she has a great walkout. Let's do this, guys. We haven't heard this in a long time. That's right, Proteus. This week in MMA, we did it, guys. We went long, but we did it. Shout out to all of you guys. You guys were great. Unlike Gigi, I never take it to another level. So don't shout out to me. Follow Marco. Actually, Marco does that. What? See, I'm already on the wrong show, guys. I'm already on the wrong damn show.
Just do it. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Let's do this, guys.
Don't do it.
So I won't do it. My Twitter follow of the week. I have to do it, guys. Have to do it. Follow Andrea KGB Lee. Listen, she has been in a lot of controversy recently, but she is, of course, friend. Not really friend to the show, but we love her anyway. But most importantly, Proteus, she's the buddy of Andy Nguyen. So shout out to Andy Nguyen and follow Andrea KGB Lee. Pam, we go to the lovely Pam. What you got?
You know what? Follow me because I said Pandora Box, B-O-X-X. And let's talk some fights.
Beautiful Pandora. We love Pam. So shout out to Pam. Follow Pam. Marco's going to give you that one, but, you know.
Thank you.
Proteus. We go to you, Proteus. Who you want to shout out?
Well, first of all, I wanted to give a shout out to, I'm going to take you guys to John Morgan's Twitter. Follow John Morgan. He's probably the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. So go ahead and follow that guy on Twitter. He deserves it. And if you ever are in the area of John Morgan, you best drop off a care package, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Tony.
Hashtag MMA friends. Hashtag one up MMA. Marco, we go to you. Close your show.
Okay, my guilty pleasure this last couple of weeks has been Destiny 2 Forsaken, the Black Armory DLC. I'm addicted to that stupid game, so don't hold it against me. Follow Tony at IMDGTony. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow Bama Pandora Box. Pandora Box. Questions at the end. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Ray and Review at Zachohead. Find us on Stitcher and iTunes and all the Blog Talk Radio, all the podcast venues that you can find us on. The last show of Proper Fox this weekend, you know, not the last, it was the price of Fox, but the last full show of Fox this weekend. So, we gotta leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
And just like that, Pammy.
We are out here.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.